Okay, Lord Garth, this is N2IRJ ready for the test, transmitting on the air in Quasi ESSB on this Saturday, March 19th, 2016 at 7:28 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My Audacity that recovered is blank, so it looks like I lost the raw LibertyNet. But at least I got you already the completed version. So I'm now in the receive mode on upper sideband to hear your beautiful new signal. Back to you.
Well, I don't know if it's really a new signal or not. It's the same old signal, I hope, minus the problem. It still has the relay problem, where every now and then I have to click the push-to-talk switch a couple of times to make the power output come back up to normal. And on very, very rare occasions, I have to do it to bring the receive back up to normal. So I guess it has the typical flex relay problems. But I don't hear any RF in the headphones, and I think everything is working normally, so you tell me what you're hearing. Does everything sound okay? N2IRJ, WB4AIO.
So far it does. I can hear your reverberation. I'm listening to you in 5,000 hertz. You're transmitting in about 4,000, and your signal made it up to as high as a 5 over S9, and my noise floor is S4. I'm utilizing the beverage antenna. Over.
Okay, I guess that's reasonably decent. Yay. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. WB4AIO testing on 75. I guess it's working. I don't want to go any further than 4, though, since we're so close to the edge of the band. And I hope the reverb is not excessive. It sounds not really mild, but maybe approaching mild in the earphones here. And I don't hear any RF in the earphones. I hear a little clicking coming from somewhere. I don't know what that is. Maybe I've got a loose connection somewhere, or maybe there's maybe one of my wireless speakers is still on in the other room. Heck, I don't know. Everything is a mess. Everything is in chaos, but the scope looks okay. The power meter looks decent, about 900 watts output, and the amazing thing is, with everything sort of in chaos and not in its final position yet, and wires strung here and there where they're not really supposed to be, it is nevertheless producing no RF in the earphones, so I assume it's producing no RFI in the output of the transmitter. So all of that is cool.
You have approximately 3S units of noise, a tad bit less. You're reading S6¾ in between your speech. It's elevated background noise. N2IRJ, Jackson, New Jersey.
Well, my background noise is about normal. It's reading about minus 26 on the companion meter, so that has not changed.
That time you went to 7.5. Background noise, my noise floor is S4, and your signal, though, increased. Your signal now is up to 10 over S9, and that's on the beverage.
Yeah, WB4AIO. Sorry, I was messing with some controls here. Stand by. Let me do another test. Stand by one moment.
This is N2IRJ in Jackson, New Jersey on 3995 kilohertz upper single sideband testing with WB4AIO Virgil 3.
Okay, let's see if this works.
You're listening to WB4AIO.
Yeah, it actually seems to work.
What a pretty voice. And in celebration of its debut, a Carrier emerged, and it's still there. So, are you receiving me in the slightly wider bandwidth? I know that I'm going to be stepping over a little, but after all, we know the priorities of the regime.
Yeah, you are stepping over a little. Yes, I am. I wasn't before, but I am now.
Okay, well, I'm recording you in 5,000 smashing hertz, so you're not being squeezed in any way, shape, or form. Oh, this is wonderful. I was wanting you to get your station back on the air for so long, and you bit the proverbial bullet.
Yeah, let's try this.
Calling into IRJ. Calling into IRJ. This is WB4AIO. Calling and carefully tuning.
Oh, wow, okay. I wonder if N2IRJ is around.
And this is N2IRJ, and I might be able to summon a similar companion if you give me a few moments, but I bet you she has a little bit more sibilance because of my bandwidth, so I'll look in Marty Miscellaneous and see what I can conjure up.
CQ, no lids, no kids, no space cadets.
I know what the little noise I'm hearing is. It's the telephone. I have the volume turned down, but it's not all the way down. I think I'm hearing myself just barely through the telephone. That's what it is.
Oh, really? You mean RF is getting into the phone line or the phone itself?
No, I think you're transmitting it to me down the phone line.
That's an ego-driven statement. How kind of you to say that. I mean, I'm only running 100 million watts.
No, I don't mean there's RFI on the phone line. I just mean your speaker is in your room and your phone is picking up my voice on your speaker. That's all. And then it comes over the phone.
Oh, well, I have it muted when I'm talking.
Well, maybe I'm crazy then.
Remember, you can't spell ham without AM, and you can't spell radio without AIO.
Okay, I was slow on the button this time, but here's how she is sounding in part.
...ham without AM, and you can't spell radio without AIO.
Wow, it sounds decent.
Yeah, it does. And by the way, those decent photographs, which you considered to be indecent, what was emailed to me from Harry. No, I think it was Dawn. I forgot now who. But the point is this. It was Bali, Indonesia. I didn't know what country. Over.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of that. I have heard of that. So, okay, it looks like everything is working.
This is WB4AIO, the station with the golden tone.
Yeah.
Transmitting from the mountains of western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And I'm looking for a similar female I can't find right now. I'm going to have to somehow stick that in a better place. But what I can do for you is an echoey version of a certain celebrity on television of past years. Here goes.
Good night, Mrs. Caliban, wherever you are.
And now I will play you that without the courtesy of the backfeed through the speakers. And then what I'll do, I will record your... let me turn my Sony up and get the plug back in. Wasn't talking into the microphone if it sounded weak, but Aphex will bring even weakness up, as you know. I want to get your woman friend there, your lady friend, so I'll record it starting right now. Here goes.
Okay, very good. N2IRJ, WB4AIO, and come on up to the microphone, honey.
You're listening to WB4AIO.
Thank you very much. WB4AIO.
That was up to my quality standards this time, including your signal, which is increasing still. You're now A12 over S9, 12 decibels, that is. And here goes the treat. Back to you.
Okay, very good. N2IRJ, WB4AIO, and come on up to the microphone, honey.
You're listening to WB4AIO.
Thank you very much. WB4AIO. Well, I'm so happy. Everything is working properly. I'm surprised. No problems.
Is amazing, and here's the echoey version.
Into IRJ.
And let me decrease the volume and give it to you the normal way. One moment.
Into IRJ. Into IRJ.
Was that less echoey? I just hit the square button on channel one. I didn't turn down the Sonys.
No. That was worse. That was all echo. You don't have your pot up for the computer output, I guess.
Well, in the mixer, I do. Bottom right side, yeah, that's all the way up. Maybe I just need to pot down the Sony speakers from being so loud, or maybe the channel one pot. Let me do that. Here goes.
Into IRJ.
Okay, I put the pot low, but I left the Sonys up high. Was there still an echo?
No, there was nothing at all. You didn't even transmit. Like I say, your pot on the Behringer for the computer must be all the way down.
Into IRJ.
And that was with the channel turned on, the Behringer, and it was with the channel 1 button depressed, although the Sonys were still on, so I got to hear her lovely voice. How did it sound?
Yeah, now you have the pot up. Now it's working. Worked perfectly. And by the way, your signal is gigantic here. You're 40 decibels over S9. That's... maybe a first for you.
Holy moly. Well, I have to blame the antenna designer for that. Too much signal going out. It's more than 100% efficient. There's like 13 watts going out in, and I don't know, 10 to the third power, more than that coming out.
Yeah, sure. It's cold fusion. Cold fusion, that's those insulators, they look like Pyrex, those antique insulators on the end of your pyramid antenna. They look like Pyrex, but really they're, I believe they're some kind of a frozen gas. And because they're in contact with the ends of the wires, it creates a cold fusion effect, and more energy comes out than actually is fed in.
How about that? We need to look for a new center insulator for my upcoming 40-meter antenna that you're going to design for me. And also, a very cosmic concept has befallen us. We were in CUSO for some time now, and yet amateur radio stations decided to come right into our passband and start their own CUSO. Imagine that. If I'm giving you 40 over, though, I suspect that you're able to hear me over them. Are you hearing them in between my syllables, maybe? Over.
Yes, I am hearing them in between your syllables, but for the most part, you're way stronger than they are, so there's no problem. Although they should not have moved in, they should wait until our QSO is over. That's terrible.
Yes, it reminds me of what Sister Apollonia told us at St. Benedict's Catholic School. She said it's like geritol, which contains alcohol. It's sin in a bottle. So those amateur operators, maybe their middle name is geritol. There is a geritol net, you know.
Yeah, the guy I was talking to earlier from Georgia, he told me that the there are two nets from the state of Georgia on 3995 lower sideband every morning. From the early hours of the morning until sometime after 8, it's the Georgia Cracker Net. And then at 9 a.m. local time, the Geritol Net comes on.
Okay. I think the guys interfering with us are on 3997 and a half lower single sideband. Maybe they're the ones who constantly jam WD4 Wall Street Journal, WD0 Wall Street Journal, yeah, zero, Michael. Maybe that's the same crew. I mentioned even last LibertyNet, hoping they would hear, but I guess I wasted my breath.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess they think they own the channel, and so they just came on. And it's KD0, yeah, KD0WSJ.
I do appreciate the correction. KD0WSJ, Wall Street Journal. Oh, this is so nice. And being that I'm speaking to you, I am not corrupting anything like this. Putting on the transmit EQ. Here goes. Right now the transmit EQ is on, and it's making things sharper for the narrow-banded folk of the world on LibertyNet. And now I'm going to turn it off. I'm back to my normal settings. Over.
Yeah, the normal setting sounds cleaner.
I expected that. And I can sort of see it on my gauges even. I like it better this way. Do I sound like I'm running it too hot, as I did about a week ago, and I said I wanted to back it off some, the audio input?
It sounds like you are, like, maybe hitting the microphone input a little hard, like you're close talking and you're blasting a little bit. If you backed off maybe 2 inches from the microphone, it probably would be about perfect.
Okay, I did two things. I backed off 2 inches from the microphone, and I decreased my level by about half of the square notch. I don't know how many dBs that is. Instead of it being up in the center detent position on slider one, it's now at the bottom of that square area. And it was previously in the middle of that square area, so I decreased it that much and also made my mouth further from the microphone. If I could end up sounding good this way, I'd like to run it this way, because I don't get breathing noises when I'm further from the microphone. But there might not be enough bass. I might have to compensate when I'm this far away. Over.
I think you sound real good right now. I wouldn't touch a thing. I think it improved. I think maybe you were crawling up a little too close to the microphone before.
Yeah, the only time I'll crawl up in the future to the microphone is when I'm speaking to Nyssa and I want to sound sexy.
Uh-oh.
Sexy, sexy.
WB4AIO.
You know, you're guilty of blasting me with a signal, too. This 10 and 12 over S9 in the form of decibels on my pyramid, it would probably be a 40 over.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I guess that means that the ice storms and snowstorms and windstorms we've had lately have not damaged my antenna. How surprising.
Yeah, that time the band shifted down, and here's worst case scenario when you go down to an S9 and maybe a 2 over at times or goes.
But I guess that means that the ice storms and snowstorms and windstorms we've had lately have not damaged my antenna. How surprising. Who is that guy anyway? Sounds great.
I agree. I think his name is Dale.
Dale, wasn't that one of the chipmunks, Chip and Dale?
Now, since I had an arrested childhood, I wouldn't know. I didn't watch cartoons, but I know about Alvin. He's a chipmunk.
Yeah, Alvin was another show, but you're right. He was also a chipmunk. But there was another cartoon. It was two chipmunks, Chip and Dale. So there you go. Important stuff. Have to know that.
Well, it was actually David Seville who told me about Alvin. His last name was that of a Cadillac.
In a city in Spain.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that too.
Those guys from out west are fading up. They're getting stronger.
Yeah, that's right. They're hitting me with a negative 95 dBm. And I'm not sure what the S meter was reading. I could let you know next time. Shame out there, you guys. Coming in on our QSO.
Stand by a second.
Yeah, the band went down on you that time. You were S9 and they were S7. The beverage is sucking them in from afar on the East Coast. I'm in Jackson, New Jersey, United States. This is N2IRJ.
WB4AIO. There's nobody on lower right now.
Okay, we will make the transition. Here goes, N2IRJ, QSYing to the lower sideband to escape the invaders who came into our passband from out west. Here goes. I'm now transmitting on lower single sideband. This is N2IRJ.
Okay, I'm doing the same. I'm still at 4 kilohertz, of course. I don't know if I'm going to go on the net. I am really exhausted from trying to do my normal work. Doing the show last night, of course, was pretty exhausting. It was up until the way deep into the wee hours of the morning for that. And then I did this tremendous project today, and I need to do cleanup. So you know what? Even though everything's working, I kind of think maybe I won't be on the net.
I do understand. I feel tired, and maybe we should clear and both rest before the net.
Yeah, that would be okay. It's conceivable I might turn this stuff on if I get a second wind after I do my cleanup and I rest for a while. Maybe I could come on later. Who knows? Maybe I will be on the net. I just don't know. But it's been a tremendous effort, and the guest bed is covered with tools and things I had to move out of the way to do the work on the rig, and the main bed is covered with various parts from the other mixer that I was, that basically the main bed was my workbench, and that's covered with tools and parts, and oh my God, there's a whole pile of things that need to be done, and some of them I have to do before I can even sleep. Maybe I should get off of the radio, but I'm really delighted. This thing is working. It's working just perfectly. I can't believe how well it is working. There is not a trace, of RF in the headphones. RF interference, I mean. And before everything broke, I was actually getting a little bit of RF in the headphones. So somehow or other, by making these repairs, I've repaired more than I thought I was repairing, because things actually seem to be working a tiny bit better. Or maybe it's just the gods are on my side. N2IRJW, before Aeschylus, Icarus, Oedipus.
The gods are on your side, and I'm going to give a grand finale, because they are, and I want to get on their good side, too. So I'm going to play back what you just gave me, and I'll preface you on it. One, there was a lot of QSB, but it didn't hurt you. I mean, the readability, it went as low as an S9. However, it went up even higher than before. It went to a 15 dB over S9, and then went back down to an S9, and then for the second time, back up to a 15 over. I doubt whether you'll be able to tell, but just so you know that there were two dips and two high rises. Here goes.
Yeah, that would be okay. It's conceivable I might turn this stuff on if I get a second wind after I do my cleanup and I rest for a while. Maybe I could come on later. Who knows? Maybe I will be on there. I just don't know. But it's been a tremendous effort, and the guest bed is covered with tools and things I had to move out of the way to do the work on the rig, and the main bed is covered with various parts from the other mixer that I was that basically the main bed was my workbench, and that's covered with tools and parts, and oh my God, there's a whole pile of things that need to be done, and some of them I have to do before I can even sleep. Maybe I should get off of the radio, but I'm really delighted. This thing is working. It's working just perfectly. I can't believe how well it is working. There is not a trace, of RF in the headphones. RF interference, I mean. And before everything broke, I was actually getting a little bit of RF in the headphones. So somehow or other, by making these repairs, I've repaired more than I thought I was repairing, because things actually seem to be working a tiny bit better. Or maybe it's just the gods are on my side. N2IRJW, before Aeschylus, Icarus, Oedipus.
N2IRJ.
Whoops, I need to mute something.
N2IRJ.
Hey, this is KK4WX. Can you copy me by any chance?
I certainly do, Russ, and I'll send it over to Kevin. We were doing a brief test before LibertyNet. He had his whole mixer torn apart today and just got it on the air, and he's a burnout. So over to you, Kevin.
Oh, you should turn it over to Russ. Hi, Russ. You've got a good signal up here in western Pennsylvania. KK4WX, WB4AIO. Go ahead.
Yeah, WB4AIO and N2IRJ from KK4WX in Southern Georgia. I was just trying to see if my amplifier was sounding okay. I've got it back on the air now, and I hope everything's sounding good and maybe nothing distorted. I'm trying to figure everything out with this new transceiver I have. Of course, I've had it since last November, but I've never used the internal tuner on it until now, and that's one thing about the old amplifier I've got. It doesn't have a tuned input, so I was using the tuner on the transceiver for the first time and trying to make things sure that I've got things right. So no distortion or anything like that on my signal there, Kevin, or go ahead.
I think you sound fine. I hear a little bit of blower noise in the background, but it's not a offensive or objectionable. And your signal is big. You're 25 over 9, and you're only about maybe 5 or 6 dB weaker than Marty was on his last transmission. So I think everything is working perfectly. What do you think, Marty?
I do concur into IRJ. Russ, boy, am I happy your amplifier is back. My noise floor is S4. Your blower noise in the background brings it up to an S6. So you have two S units of noise, and your signal when you speak fluctuates from an 8 to a 9. So I'll give you credit for a 9 from a 6. So your 18 dB signal-to-noise ratio, if it wouldn't be for the blower, that would give you an extra 12. You have a 30 dB signal-to-noise ratio. I'll let you hear what you sound like, but keep in mind that I'm not the one with the southern favoring antenna. I think next go around maybe Kevin could make a recording, and you'll really be impressed at how you're being received there. Typically, his antenna brings in the south better, but here goes.
To RJ from KK4WX in southern Georgia. Just trying to see if my amplifier was sounding okay. I've got it back on the air now, and I hope everything sounded good and maybe nothing distorted. I'm trying to figure everything out on this new transceiver I have. Of course, I've had it since last November, but I've never used the internal filter until now. And that's one thing about the old amplifier I've got. It doesn't have a tuned input, so I was using the tuner on the transceiver for the first time and trying to make things sure that I've got things right. So no distortion or anything like that on my signal there, Kevin, or go ahead.
No distortion, and back to you, Russ.
Okay, well, that sounds pretty good. Let me see if I can tone this mic gain down a little bit here. I'm good. Hello. Okay. WB4AIO and N2IRJ. Let me see. I'm coming down. That's about 5 notches or so on the mic gain. And I'm well within the ALC, so hopefully that maybe sounds okay. Yeah, it's a real nasty blower on this old amplifier. It's one of those old box fans, and it is loud, and I doubt I'm ever going to eliminate it completely. I may be able to tone it down a little bit. Probably if I take my processor off would help, but then I'll have to readjust all my mic gain settings and everything, and it'll really be crazy. But I've got a new microphone I want to try out, but I don't have it wired up yet, so we'll see how that goes too. I was told that it was kind of like a it's a cheap microphone. I won't even tell you what it is till I get it hooked up and going, but it's supposed to be comparable to a Heil PR40. But anyway, we'll see how that works out later on when I get those adjustments and everything figured out on the radio. This radio's got an onboard onboard, you know, where you can tone up the tone of your voice, and I think you can even narrow or widen your the sideband signal, so make it a little broader or whatever, so that'll maybe enrich it a little bit too. We got to do a lot of playing around. Like I said, I'm not much on sideband, which I told you guys before, only on the Liberty Net. The rest of the time I'm on CW. So thanks for letting me interrupt, and I appreciate it very much, and maybe we'll see you guys on the Liberty Net. N2IRJ and WB4AIO from KK4 Southern Georgia. Thanks so much, guys.
I've got a recording. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, man. Go ahead with it, Kevin.
Okay, you by the way, cut way back on the blower noise, and the signal is still good, so I think you really helped things by turning the mic gain down a bit. Maybe you could turn it up just half a notch from where it is now. but it's pretty close to perfect, I think. Here's the recording. Let's see how this works.
The sideband signal, so make it a little broader or whatever, so that'll maybe enrich it a little bit too. We've got to do a lot of playing around. Like I said, I'm not much on sideband, which I told you guys before, only on the Liberty Net. The rest of the time I'm on CW, so thanks for letting me interrupt. And
so there you go. Did that come through okay, Russ?
Oh, wow. Yeah, good. Very good. At least I know I won't be all buried up in the static from now on. But the little bit of power always helps out, Kevin. Thanks a bunch. I appreciate it. KK4WX.
Okay, what kind of amp do you have, Russ?
It's one of these old Dentron clipper canals. They run 4 572Bs. These old, glass tubes, and they're good for about 1,300 watts out, something like that. But you know, those things are for high profit. I don't run the 572Bs, and that's what a lot of people don't realize about these amps. And really, it's a real good amp in the aspect that you can take and turn the amp up on its side, to where the tubes aren't laying down horizontally. They're laying down. They're actually standing up vertically. If you in other words, you turn the amplifier physically up on its side, and that way your tubes are vertically. And instead of running 572Bs, I run 811A's. Of course, they're cheap, yeah, but, you know, four of them, they'll get you 850 watts out or so, and all you got to do is just turn the switch on the front panel from the sideband position to the CW position, and what that does is it reduces the plate voltage from about 2,700 volts to about 1,800 volts on the plate, so... That's in specs. It's a little bit hot for 811A's, but they usually run okay for a pretty long time, and you know, as long as you don't abuse them there. WB4AIO from KK4WX.
Okay, very good on the Clipper Tonnell. I'm running a Clipper Tonnell here too, so it's one Clipperton talking to another Clipperton. So very good on all that. I modified this Clipperton a little bit. I have a different plate choke in it, and I put a center tapped transformer in there to take the 60 hertz modulation off the filaments, which was a design flaw. So after my mods, I made a couple other mods too. After my mods, I call it the Super Duty version of the Clipperton L. So I just put Super Duty SD on the end of Clipperton L, and I have a Clipperton LSD. So it's a nice amplifier. It does have an untuned input, but it's close enough for jazz. And this Flex SDR 1000 feeds into it without any difficulties on this band anyway. So, Marty, go ahead and I'll make a recording of you too, since my recording system is working.
Thank you, Kevin. Marty here, N2IRJ, Jackson, New Jersey. And I will say that Kevin's Clipperton LSD is driven by lysergic acid diethylamide. LSD-25, to be precise. Oh, maybe 700 micrograms. So it's a good trip. And I concur with Kevin about your new microphone setting, Russ. I think it should stay where it is. He did say to crack it up a half, a teensy bit. That's okay. If you did do that, you're still okay. But whenever you knock it down, you need to close talk it a little more. And maybe that's what you already did, because your audio still stayed perfect. And you got rid of that annoying background noise. It's beautiful now, just the way it should be. As for the PR40 Heil, I've had plenty of Heil products. And I'm not happy with their alleged high quality products. I've used plenty of their narrow banded HC5s, HC4s, mainly HC5s. And for my Asus Musen FT1000D, they really made it up nicely, especially when I inserted the proper capacitance between for coupling, which was different than what Heil used. And the thing I'll say is that on the Yaesu Musen, it was a 2.4 kilohertz rig, top end cut, and it worked nicely with the HC5 element. But where it really came alive was when I opened it up to 3 kilohertz with an INRAD filter, international radio. If I had it to do over again, I'd get it from another company that does better filters, but it was so much better than the factory one. People on Liberty thought the audio was astounding. However, when I switched over to the Goldline Heil, people thought it sounded terrible, and it did. And the reason was that particular radio couldn't pass the low frequencies like this one can, so it sounded muddy. But I suspect if I ever took that element and put it onto this radio, it would sound half okay. I've heard Bob Heil on frequency here, believe it or not, and I contacted Kevin, and he got to hear him too while he performed antenna tests. That was quite interesting. He has the ability to phase his 80-meter antennas to go omnidirectional or eastward, and he did an A-B comparison. And when he made it eastward, we expected his signal to get stronger, but it actually got weaker. You know, Kevin's in western Pennsylvania. I'm on the eastern middle shore of New Jersey. And over the amateur radio band, he seems like a nice guy. I mean, when I talk to him in person, he denies the existence of Roland Corporation. I told him about my Roland products, amplifiers. And I said, you know, Adderall Roland these days? He said, no, no. He said, I'm an expert in audio. I never heard of that. It doesn't exist. So I could tell you a few more Heil stories, but I've talked long enough to make a really long recording for Kevin. And I'll hear it and then pass it back to you. Russ, N2IRJ.
Oh, I didn't make a long recording, but I did make a recording. Let's see if this works.
The setting, Russ, I think it should stay where it is. He did say to crack it up a half, a teensy bit. That's okay. If you did do that, you're still okay. But whenever you knock it down, you need to close talk it a little more. And maybe that's what you already did, because your audio still stayed perfect, and you got rid of that annoying background noise. It's beautiful now, just the way it should be.
So there you go, Marty.
Contact.
Thank you, Kevin, and go ahead, contact.
I appreciate it, guys. Let me make a call, please. So we normally meet here at 9 o'clock, and you guys have frequency, so I need to call and see if we can contact and move off. Okay.
You know what? You're a very kind fellow. We come on at 10 o'clock. You're normally here first. I think it's W1RAJ and a few others, and I'm going to give you the frequency. We're going to go. We were clearing out anyway, but we will be back here a little before 10 p.m. Is that okay?
Oh, we always leave around 9:30 to 9:40, but no, it's okay, guys. You guys are having a nice conversation. Let me see if KFADV. Dan, are you aboard?
Yeah, I remember the call sign KFADB. It's similar to someone else who comes on our net, KE8. Well, I can't think, but Russ, KK4WX. I'll say 73 and 73 Kevin. I want them to have the frequency, and I know they clear off before 10, and there's a little window in there, so we start usually early, Liberty Net. So 73, the frequency is yours. N2IRJ clearing out for now, and one day I'll have a QSO with you too.
Boy, it sounds like Dan is not in there tonight, guys. So you guys go ahead, and we appreciate you letting me get in there and make a call. But, yeah, KF8DB, myself, and a few others do get in around 9, but tonight it seems like that he probably heard you guys in there and decided that we just wouldn't make it tonight. So 73, you guys, appreciate you letting me in there. W1RAJ in Butler, Georgia.
Yeah, W1RAJ in Butler, Georgia. There's a person who comes on 3995. You might have heard from Maine. He's N1RAJ. And I've been telling him for years that he should hook up with you for call sign sake. You're almost doppelgangers, kind of, with the RAJ suffix. And I guess we'll chat just a couple more minutes, but like I said, we were thinking of going anyway. We started on 39.95 upper sideband, but we got invaded by the 39.97 and a half guys, so we had to come down here. And anyway, I'll look out for KF8DB. The guy that comes on our frequency is KF8ED, ED instead of DB, so it sounds similar. That's the confusion. Okay, see you for the moment.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, KF8DB, he's up there in Kentucky. If he comes in, just tell him W1RAJ. We'll catch him tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Thanks a lot, guys. W1RAJ clear.
Very much for your courtesy, and also I'm sorry if we made your buddy tune away. I didn't intend to do that, but 73, and talk to you later, WB4AI.
Yeah, I hope he didn't go because of us. In the future, if you ever hear it, to tell him, always come in. We're friendlies. Over to you there, Russ. In the good old South, that's where my heart resides. Over.
Okay, Marty. Well, you know, after we were talking about everything, and let me just say this, that of course you already confirmed this, Marty, but to listen to the recording that Kevin made of you, I was totally amazed that I could not tell it was a recording. It was just that good. Of course, you know, maybe I don't have as good of ears, but to me, that sounded exactly the way your signal sounded. I mean, it was identical. I mean, it was almost like a carbon copy, if that's what you want to call it. Hey, I've noticed something else on this Mickey Mouse hand microphone, Marty. It's on the back side of it, and I just noticed this out of all these months. There's a little switch on the back of it that says, I think it says high and low or something like that. I'm going to switch that thing and see if it makes any difference, okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's see. This is with the normal. All right. Now I made a switch. And switched the, turned the switch the other way. Did it make any difference at all, Mario?
I'm not able to determine. How about you, Kevin?
I don't know. Do it again, and do it a couple of times, and I'll give you my opinion. If there is a difference, it's not a huge difference.
Okay, well, it says tone on it. Now, this is where I switched it back. Let me get back on the original setting. Okay, I'm on the original setting. Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is KK4WX, and I am close talking the microphone, probably about an inch from the microphone there. So now I'm going to make the switch. All right, now I just made the switch. This is KK4WX for ID testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know if you were able to detect any difference or not. Go ahead.
Yes, it's a very subtle difference, but I think there are a little bit more lows in the original position and a little bit fewer lows in the current position, but they both sound fairly similar.
Okay. Well, if you were, I guess you would leave it where it is now if it was a little rough, and then just for easy talking, it'd probably sound better back at the old position then.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to look at it.
Okay. I appreciate it again, guys. And, yes, that was nice of the gentleman there to Butler, Georgia. That's not too terribly far up the road, about halfway up the state there. They got a real nice gun. You guys ought to be able to go in that gun shop in Butler, Georgia. It's called Bo's Gun Shop. I've never seen so many guns in all my life. As a matter of fact, I won in a raffle last year. I won a Benelli 12 gauge M2 12 gauge automatic ventilated rib, had all the chokes with it and everything, brand new. And Moe's Gun Shop in Butler, Georgia is where I picked it up at. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say that there's also a Butler, Pennsylvania. It's around where Kevin lives. And I concur with Kevin about the change on your microphone. It is very subtle, but the original position gives you a little bit more bass response. If you go with that Heil PR40, make sure you keep it in the position that it's in right now. And also, you mentioned the ability to change bandwidth, I believe. If you're able to transmit in a wider bandwidth, you'll need to do that to take advantage of what the Heil microphone, the PR40, can deliver. It's not a narrow-banded peaky element like the HC4 or, to a lesser extent, the HC5. Over to you, Kevin.
Okay, very good. Everybody's just rock-crushing in here. Super signals, WB4AIO.
Well, this isn't a PR40, so don't let me mislead you. I actually ran across this microphone on the FTDX 1200 Yahoo group site there, and I've become a member of it. If members that have a radio like mine, it's the AC1200. And one guy was on there, and he was commenting about how good the radio microphone was that he found. And I'm ashamed to say it, but it's a Chinese microphone. And I bought it off of eBay of all things, and I believe it's called maybe a BM50 or something like that. But evidently, this guy's had experience with the Heil microphones as well. And he said there's not a darn bit of difference, so who knows?
Recording, so you can compare this to the earlier recording. Maybe you can tell the difference. Maybe you can't. Here goes.
Maybe a BM50 or something like that. But evidently, this guy's had experience with the Heil microphones as well, and he said there's not a darn bit of difference. So who knows?
So there you go. You're sounding pretty good. And yes, these Flex radios do have a good recording and playback capability. I'm not using an external recorder. I'm using a recorder that's built into the Flex software. And it when you play back the recording, it takes out all of the audio circuitry. Your mic preamp and your mic processor and all of that is taken completely out of the circuitry, and it just feeds the raw recording right into the transmit path. And so the recording, when it's played back, is not altered at all, except the bandwidth filter is still in there. But outside of, in every other way, it's not altered at all. Over.
Oh, man. That's terrific, Kevin. Yeah, that's great. Hey, if I sound that good, that's good enough for me. At least I'm getting through with a little bit of a punch now and over the noise level, so that's the main objective right now. I'll work on all the audio stuff further down the line, but hey, I really appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate that you're trying to have decent audio. Rock chair copy, that's what Annette is all about. You don't want nerve grating, nerve jangling DX contester audio for Annette. You want to have a gentlemanly sound, and you're achieving that. And I'll help you with your Heil or whatever other microphone you hook up later. And I'll help you, too, in another way. I'm making a recording of this, and it'll eventually merge into the LibertyNet recording. But I'll truncate it for LibertyNet, and then separately I'll make a link. So if you want to hear yourself how you sound, you'll be able to do so. And when you get the Heil hooked up, I've been aware all along that you were not using the Heil. You said several times it was just the hand mic. So it's only going to get better, especially if you have the controls on your radio that lets it open up.
Yeah, it's supposed to let me change the bandwidth, or whatever you call it, the width of the signal from 3 kilohertz to, I guess, open it up or to whatever. So I think there's 3 or 4 settings on it. I've read about it in the manual, but you know, I don't want to get real wide or anything. I don't want to be splattering over on anybody either. So I sort of want to be careful with that and be sure I check all the edges and everything. I certainly don't want to have nobody come down on me about I'm bleeding over on somebody or something.
Wideness and splattering are two different phenomena.
Into IRJ.
Oh, there goes my automatic ID, just like during LibertyNet. I can explain that all to you sometime. Yeah, you needn't fear. I have a panoramic adapter here, and I can guide you through it. You ought to read your book and find out how wide it'll go. These Japanese rigs typically peak out around 4.6 kilohertz, so you can't get into trouble even if you're trying to. And it has to do with how sharp your filters are and what kind of intermodulation distortion falls outside of the passband, whether or not it affects other people. On 3991, we're talking certain operators there. They have software-defined radios, and I can see how exceptionally clean they are. They're in wider bandwidth, what you were afraid to do, and yet they are far, far cleaner than their narrow-banded counterparts. They don't have a Christmas tree-like pattern. They look like a rectangle, the way they should. And then sometimes we get, conventional radios and they're okay. And then sometimes we get conventional radios that aren't okay. There's one, I think it's KC8BA, KC8 Bravo Alpha. And I have screenshots of him and I've been meaning to chat with him sometime. He sounds nice if you go on 3990, but unfortunately he sprays a splatter up the band and also down the band too. He maybe is hitting it hard, or there might be a problem within the radio. But I'll take when the band's good, I'll screenshot your signal too, so you'll be able to see it. I think I might have already done that for you, Russ. And let me pass it to Kevin.
Well, I'm going to get out of here, guys. I've got a lot of work to do to clean up after all my electronic adventures today, but I'm glad it's working. I'm glad I got good signal reports, and I thank you for the recording, Marty, and I thank you for the report, Russ. And your rig is working great, but I think I'm going to clear out, try to do a little cleanup before I start my LibertyNet recording. So I will say 73, and good luck in the contest, and I'll talk to you guys later. KK4WX and N2IRJ. This is WB4AIO saying 73.
All right, Kevin. Good to talk to you. And I thank you for all the advice and checks and recordings and all. And you are sounding real good down here in the South. No problem copying your signal whatsoever. And Marty, I was just looking on the computer here, and this microphone is called a BM800. Bravo Mic 800, and you can Google it on eBay, and it comes in two different forms. It's it's powered by a little bit of a current or something, but there's one model and it's hard to find that it takes a battery, and I've got the one that takes the battery because that's what the guy recommended. But the other one takes 3 milliamps of electrical current, and I don't know how it gets it, other than I don't know how you would give it that 3 milliamps. So anyway, that's the mic, and you can look it up on eBay, and who knows, it might sound like a piece of junk, but for no more than it costs, I think it's about an $18 to $20-something mic. It's just according to who you get it from. So at that money, cheaper price, I figured, what the heck, I couldn't go wrong. N2IRJ from KK4WX.
Bravo, Mic 800. I will look that up. Are you saying that it requires phantom power voltage, like, say, 48 volts, maybe?
Yeah, it doesn't say how many volts, but that's exactly what it says. It needs phantom power. And if you look at the specs, it says 3 milliamps. So I don't even know what that means. I don't know where would you get what's phantom power. I guess I'm ignorant to the fact there, Marty. Over.
I'll be happy to explain. Standard microphone that operates just by the power of your voice, that requires no power. It's a passive device, but an active microphone is one that requires a charge to be placed on the plates, and condenser microphones are one such type that require a phantom voltage, and it goes up through the line, and typically it's hooked to a mixer, and every mixer I've ever seen just about has a phantom power button. You can turn it on or off, and it typically puts around 48 volts to the microphone, and the 3 milliamps is so trivial. It's so low. It is extremely low amperage. Radio Shack used to sell condenser microphones, and their phantom voltage was 1.5 volts. It was from a AA cell. So anyway, you do have to have that. The microphone will not work at all if you don't give it the phantom voltage. But when you give it the phantom voltage, it will rock and roll. It'll be more sensitive. It's in essence being powered, kind of like a power microphone. In fact, it is, but I don't want to disparage it by comparing it to something in the CB world, but I am using that right now. I used to use a Samson microphone, which was conventional, and it was excellent sounding, full fidelity, but I had a close talk it and talk louder than I wanted to do, and that was stressful on me, so I converted to the one that I'm using now, which is an MXL990, I'm very pleased with that. I want to say the name of it, Mitchell. It's escaping right now, MXL990, who makes it. But you can look that one up, too. Over.
What was that? Marty, what up now?
My microphone is an MXL990, and it requires phantom voltage. But I don't have to talk nearly as loud to make it work.
Okay. Okay, good. MXL990. I'll look that up. Yeah, this is it's a pro condenser microphone. And there's two different ways that I guess that you can power it. There are two different models. There's a battery-powered one, and there's a phantom-powered one. So the guy suggested to get the battery-powered one, and I couldn't find one. I just looked through all kinds of them and, on eBay, and I never could find one, a battery-powered one. And so I sent him back an email and told him I can't find one. So next thing I know, he sent me back an email and said, well, here's one. So I listed it, and sure enough, it uses a triple A battery. So how long that triple A battery will make it run or whatever, I don't know. But I just got it in the mail today, so I haven't even had time to hook it up. But it comes with a, what do you call those things? Some kind of shock mount or something like that. It comes with one of those. It also comes with a foam sock you can shove over the head of it, I guess, for whatever reason. of course, it comes with that kind of microphone connection that all the hall microphones use. So it's got that too. I guess the 3-pin connector or whatever. So there you have it, Marty. We'll have to get it hooked up, and I've got an external, what do you call those things,
WYI, I believe, is what we worked with before at your station. It had an equalizer in it. And my microphone is a Marshall. That was the word I was looking for before. And the battery can last quite a long time because it's just a teensy bit of static charge, more or less, that's put on the plate. And once it's charged, the milliamp draw goes down way below the 3 milliamp that it initially surges to get the charge on the capacitors. Well, the capacitor, the condenser microphone element, I should say. So, anyway, I want to say that you mentioned two important items. One is the isolation. Still on the phone after all this time. I guess I'll hang up. You there, Kevin? Hello?
No, I'll see you later.
Okay, see you later. Hanging up now. Bye. Okay, turns out Kevin had called me on the phone and that phone was off the hook all this time. We just hung up. I heard a noise. The boom that attaches to this insulating device you're speaking of will prevent handling noise. When you're handling a hand microphone, your fingers can rub it, and there's sometimes a unfavorable key clicking sound from the push-to-talk button, which sometimes is louder than your voice. Not you in particular, but I've heard some LibertyNet people talking where even when they're talking, they're sort of massaging the button, and it's, you know, making groaning noises and everything, and squeaking noises. And this insulating device that you spoke of will insulate you from that. It'll hold the microphone for you. You won't have to hold the microphone in your hand. However, you'll need a boom to hold the whole assembly and then a separate keying up button so that you can do it elegantly. And you mentioned about the foam that goes over the top of the microphone. That's a anti-PPOP filter when you're close talking the microphone, especially, and you hit P's. Sometimes those low frequencies will create a pop, and that helps prevent that from happening. I don't use one on my station. Instead, I use a grate. It's an anti-PPOP screen. And you can use either or both, but the less attenuation along the way, in my case here, the better. And I just am pleased to have the system I do. And it just lets a little bit of the verge of a P-pop come through once in a while, which means it's working. It's an indication of good low-frequency response if you're right on the threshold of hearing a P-pop. Back to you from N2IRJ.
N2IRJ from KK4WX. Southern Georgia, yeah. Well, that makes sense, that P-pop filter. That makes perfectly sense. And I got that with the microphone. And yeah, I've got a boom, and I've got a shock mount that came with my boom, but I really never had a microphone that really fit that shock mount. So I've got a different kind of mount,
in it right now, and I'm using, the last time I was using a microphone made by Radio Shack. And believe it or not, I've got some good reports from this old microphone. It's a cheap microphone also, but I had it tailored, the audio tailored and all that with the equalizer, the W5IY equalizer. Let's see, the model of this thing is 330338. Is that enough number? 330338. That's the model number of this microphone. And, you know, it looks kind of like those microphones that, you know, sort of tapers down toward the end where the wire comes out the back, the one end of it and the back end. And then at the front of it, it just looks kind of like a, I don't know, kind of like an ice cream cone, you know, with a big ball of ice cream on it. But it's got a black mesh grill on it. And, I mean, it's a good-looking microphone. It looks like those Howl microphones. I don't know if you call them gold lined or what, but it just sort of looks like one of those. It doesn't sound bad from what I've heard. I mean, I've actually listened to recordings of myself on it, and when I was using the 940 Kenwood, and I was really impressed with it, by the way. It being a $17-$18 microphone. So, those equalizers can do a lot for a lot of sorry microphones, too. If I ever sound like I'm, gripping the microphone, or you can hear noise where it might sound like I'm rubbing it or whatever with my hands already, just let me know. I'll switch over and we'll use the MOX control button up here on the transceiver, and we'll lock it down and unlock it when I go to unkey, and we won't even worry about pushing this little button on this microphone. I hate these hand mics. I always have. I feel like I'm not my full potential on this thing. N2IRJ from KK4WX.
N2IRJ returning. Yes, for base station operation, it's not very elegant. But in the automobile, a hand mic has its place. It was humorous to hear this. I received many emails during the week from LibertyNet listeners. And this week in particular, two individuals in retirement villages of sorts, they depend on the streaming and the ability to participate in the chat room. And one was telling me that she watched Highway Patrol, and
M2IRJ.
Her husband used to point out that the police car was only two door instead of four, so how could you get the prisoner in the back seat? And also, when Crawford, Broderick, I forget his name, but anyway, when he'd talk into the microphone, he wouldn't push the push-to-talk button. So that's Hollywood for you, missing out on the important details. Over. Hey, I hear a contact. Is that you, Dieter? Who? Marty here, N2IRJ. Over.
This thing, and it seems like the box works pretty well on it. I mean, I don't think it cuts my voice off when I go to talk. It keys up, and when I stop talking, it unkeys like it's supposed to. So, of course, I don't run it, but I could. I don't think it chatters a whole lot. Let me give it a try.
Oh, everything is perfect. There's not a problem in the world. I'd tell you otherwise. I already told you about your fan. And, Kevin, if you're listening out, I'm going to put you as number one check-in, and you could not respond, and I'll just say to Vic, you must be in the listening mode, but that way you can get in and out fast. if you want to say a few words since it's been so long since you've been on the Liberty Net. Russ, there's a breaking station. Let me pick him up, and then we can continue. Go ahead, breaking station, entering station. Marty here. Could you repeat and maybe close talk the mic and speak slowly? I am not able to pull you out. Try again, please. It sounded like maybe W9... something, a whiskey, Sierra, Bravo, N9 maybe, N9, but that's three land. Come on back again. This time I have it. November 3, Sierra, Whiskey, Bravo. Marty here, November 2, India, Romeo, Juliet, in CUSO with Russ, KK4UX in Tipton, Georgia. Name here is Marty. What's your name there, N3SWB and QTH?
Marty, my name's Sam. Yeah.
You asked a question and somebody transmitted a carrier, which I have since notched out. Could you repeat? God, it's Sam in Pennsylvania. That's my home state. I came from near Pittsburgh, city of Johnstown. Over. Your modulation seems to be fine. The signal is very low at my QTH. I could pass it over to Russ. Russ, are you receiving Sam in Pennsylvania? His call sign is N3SWB. Over.
I'm sorry, Marty. I don't have a good copy on him. I can just tell he's in there, but not enough to even pick out hardly a word. Go ahead.
Were you able to copy that, Sam, from Tipton, Georgia? Over. N3SWB, this is N2IRJ, Marty in New Jersey. I'm about 20 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. I'm looking you up right now on QRZ.com, and I see that you're in Milroy, Pennsylvania, with 60 lookups. Over. Well, thank you for that. The distance of separation between us, according to this site, is 172 miles. And I'm using a pyramid antenna. It's something like an inverted V, but not exactly. I deliberately have the ends drooping horizontal, or excuse me, vertical. And its apex is at 43 feet, which is the highest I can go. I don't have trees tall enough. But it is working well for me. For many years, I operated a homebrew vertical for like maybe 23 years or something. And now I use this antenna. Hurricane Sandy robbed me of a lot of my other really flexible antennas. I had a double L doublet with a tuner, and I got a couple times out of it, and people really loved the signal on it. I could do 160 meters all the way up the band and with a tuner, but Hurricane Sandy ripped that away from me, so this one was put up last year. What are you using? What kind of antenna, the height, and what kind of power? Over. Okay, I copied most of that. You're in central Pennsylvania, I'm seeing here, and you're riding the ICOM, and it's an NFED wire. How long is this wire? Gotcha. It's an end-fed wire, but it's only 24 feet long. And on this frequency of 3995 kilohertz, you really need to have a longer piece of wire. So based upon size, you're doing better than if you were transmitting off of a light bulb. But boy, you could do yourself a favor by getting a longer length of wire, and we'd hear you with 100 watts even. We're going to have Annette here in a little while. It's 9:48 Eastern Daylight Saving Time, and at 10 p.m. the Liberty Net starts. You're welcome to check in there. It's a current events political discussion net, and later in the net towards the end we talk about science and philosophical ideas and you name it, the clothes laundry list, and the people there have been performing this for 41 years. Vic, W1WCR, is the net control station, and he's really been diligent in trying to educate and have people understand the bigger pictures in our country and in this world. So if you want, you can listen or check in, and then when your turn comes up, you can get to talk about what's on your mind. It circles around a few times, and then eventually there's what's called the roundtable. It's also streamed on the internet by me. Right now I'm streaming. In fact, your voice is going worldwide on the internet. It's at a site called 3950.net, 3950.net. And if you click on the live button, you can go to a chat room too. Although, because of bad actors over the years coming in and disrupting the chat room, we end up instituting the need to sign in with a login password that we'll give you. If you email us, we'll give you that. And you can still watch. I mean, we could block that too, but I don't want to be that restrictive.
Into IRJ.
So anyway, that's the scoop. I presume you copied all that, Sam. Back to you, Sam. And then I'll be picking Russ up shortly in the wings there. Back to you, Sam. I copied only part of that, but I think you were saying maybe you'll catch part of the net tonight, and you're going by the side for now. So 7-3, and I'll pass it over to Russ, and you might bid N3SWB 7-3 as well, even though you weren't able to hear him this time.